Welcome to the very first episode of Excess Reality, the podcast where two goofballs are bringing the future of XR into the present. My name's Allison Day. I'm here with my co-host, Sun Nguyen.
Hello.
And we're talking about news, we're talking about brainstorming, but on a slightly personal front, we've got some very exciting news. We finally...
That's right.
Finally. Have bought... Quest.
I've been stalking Oculus.com.
Gosh.
Almost every day now.
It's been so out of stock.
Yes.
For such a long time now, because everybody wanted one with this quarantine, with COVID. And so it's been pretty impossible to get one. I'm sure you could pay like stupid amounts of money and get one.
Yes.
But it's been pretty impossible to get one for decent amounts of money.
Yep.
So we've been on the wait list and it just went in stock for just a little bit of time.
Yep.
A couple days ago. And so we bought one. It'll get here eventually.
Well, supposedly it's supposed to get here in the end of June, but we'll see how
supposedly.
That goes. We'll see how that goes in that certain in this conditions.
But even so, it'll be at least a month until we get one. Yeah. So for now, we're just talking about VR. We can't really play any of these things that we're looking at. We can try out the AR demos on our phone.
Yeah.
But that's about all we can do right now. But I'm excited.
Yes,
I'm looking forward
too.
To it. We've had an it's opportunity to try it out a while ago.
Yes.
But we haven't really... We played like the Beat Saber demo.
Yes. Yes.
Which was a heck of a lot of fun. But
that's
about it. So in about a month, we will...
We'll try out the new hands...
We'll have some first-person reports of all of these things. But for now, we're talking news. And it just passed the one-year anniversary of Oculus Quest and Rift S, which is kind of exciting and kind of crazy that Facebook is reporting that they've sold over $100 million in apps. This is not even counting the amount of money that they've made off of the headsets. This is just... apps.
I'm sure they're probably taking a loss with the headset, and this is where they make their money right now. Here, it's just that.
Well, and it's sales, I think, not necessarily revenue.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So it's $100 million in sales, which means some of that also went to the developers. I'm assuming. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But gosh,
it's a lot of money.
That's big business.
Yeah.
Time to get in on this.
Yes. Exactly.
Time to build some apps.
And it can only go up from here, right? I mean,
yeah, I feel like I've been seeing reports that VR has gotten a good bit more popular, and we're also seeing a lot more stuff coming out right now with the quarantine, with everybody being at home and not being able to go out and have fun. They're trying to find their fun at home, and VR has been a really good way to do that.
Yep.
So we're seeing more apps come out, and we'll definitely be talking about those a good bit more in upcoming episodes.
Yes. But speaking of hand detection though, I think it was experimental.
It was maybe in beta for a while.
For maybe a few months, maybe six months.
I think it came out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's when people started being able to play with it.
Five months.
Now
it's already been almost 6 months.
Oh, wow. It's been a year.
This year has gone by really slow and really fast.
It's been the slowest, fastest year I've ever lived.
Yes, I swear. But yeah, speaking of that, they just...
came out of beta, right?
Yeah, it's actually full-on release general
public.
Which is
really exciting because a lot of the things that we're seeing come out right now look like so much fun, and it looks like it's all working so well.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we've noticed the Beat Saber.
Yes.
I think probably almost everybody's seen this because it's been all over Twitter, all over social media. But there is this little handheld Beat Saber and it looks, I want to play it. It looks like so much fun. Do you know if it's available to play with or is it just kind of a demo that they're showing off?
I think it's just a demo. I think it's from a guy who works at Shopify. I think he leads their Daniel
Beauchamp.
Beauchamp.
Head of AR and VR at Shopify, also building random experiments, such as this.
I mean, that's such a cool job. I want that job. Yeah.
That looks like so much fun. But I had this other article about it.
Yes.
And so we were just showing the video, but he also...
Can you describe a little bit of...
He was cleaning up his...
Yeah, I know that. I saw that. Bricks. It's really cool.
But yeah, so it's pretty much... It's Beat Saber. And yes. I think everybody knows Beat Saber. But Beat Saber essentially is a game where you are using like lightsabers to hit little blocks that are coming towards you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... Think like Dance Dance Revolution, mm-hmm. that sort of game, yes. where you have to hit it in a certain pattern. You're listening to music while you do it. And you're pretty much trying to hit as many of these in a row in the right pattern as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so this hand tracking version is you've got the little sabers coming out of your fingers.
Fingers.
Pew, pew.
Yeah.
Just out of your index fingers. And so you're just using your index fingers to...
It's using your hand detection. Things.
Yeah, it's using the hand tracking.
Yeah.
And so it's this mini version of Beat Saber.
Yeah.
But it's just so much fun.
And I like the way that he placed the gameplay inside of an airplane where you're sitting there and you can't really move your arms like imagine doing Beat Saber on an airplane.
Yeah. Take out your neighbor. You'd take out the person in front of you.
It's like,
you'd probably beat yourself up.
Yeah, but it makes sense to have just your play it with just your hand, just kind of like you're orchestrating almost, right?
That would be fun to have a little orchestra.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. But I think it's a really cool idea because he placed himself. It's VR, but it's what AR could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost you're prototyping AR in a VR environment because we're all in a lockdown right now, so we can't go outside. So we're kind of like, and I mean, who flies nowadays? You know,
not unless you really, really have to.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it's AR prototyping in a VR setting of like pretending. Okay, here you're at a factory. You know, here's how you do the training and stuff like that. So I think it's an interesting idea,
right?
To do that
and kind of going off of this. There are some people planning a game jam.
Yes.
That's kind of based off of this idea where you are in an airplane seat and you've just got the environment of like your tray table in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a game jam. I believe it's in August.
Links going to be in down.
Yeah, we will have the links in our show notes at sushicodes.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see all the stuff that we're talking about, you can go check that out.
Yeah.
But this is called Tray Table VR Jam.
Yes.
And the whole premise is the only space you have is your tray table on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to create a game or an experience, something in VR using that small space.
Yeah.
And I actually think this is really cool because even though so many of us are not going to be flying anytime mm-hmm. soon. One of the big problems that I've seen with VR experiences is that you don't often have this gigantic space
to set up
a VR environment. You've got like your table in front of you, maybe a coffee table or a dining room table if you're lucky, if it's actually clean enough. But in general, you've just got a very, very little space to work with.
Yes.
And it's so many of the games and experiences right now require a lot more space to move around in.
Yeah.
And while I think it's very cool either way, and there's definitely room for both types of experiences, mm-hmm. I think we could use a lot more tiny ones.
Yeah, most of us don't really have those fancy houses with wall-to-wall windows.
Yeah, no worries. I've got a ballroom
exactly.
that I can go do this in.
You know, and it's empty. It's clean, it's perfect, and I can just go do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I think most of us...
1,000 square feet, no problem.
Yeah, most of us are in apartments, you know, in small spaces. I feel like that's going to be more... Even us right now, we live in a house, but then, you know,
You've got furniture. And also, you want to do it just at your desk where you're working. You don't want to have to go move into another room
just
to do something, especially if you're actually working on developing something.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on. Let me go into the other room to test this out and then come back and code it.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of doing smaller scale VR.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to what everybody does with that. And yeah. Also, I think we've signed up for the jam.
We joined the
so
jam.
So we are planning on making something. So you'll see in August what we come up with.
Hopefully we'll post some sort of devlog or something.
Yeah, yeah. We will have devlogs on our YouTube, yep. Which is youtube.com/sushicodes.
Yes.
So check that out. For this game jam, what do you want to see? What ideas do you have? What you could do on a trade table.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, like, you know how we have many conversations before. We always sit down and brainstorm about ideas, mm-hmm. of what we can do in AR, VR, what we would like to see in the future.
And that's also a big thing of what we want to do as part of this podcast, yes. is just brainstorm ideas, yeah. put things out there of like, this would be really cool, that would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And if any of you guys want to take the ideas and run with it, we'll be happy.
Let us know.
Yeah,
I want to see what you do.
Yeah, we'll be happy to check it out. And
ideas are a very small part of the product. It's all about implementation and
execution.
20 of you could take the same idea and do completely different things with it. Yeah. So if you ever take one of our ideas and do something with that, let us know, because we want to see it.
For sure.
Hit me up on Twitter at Sushi Day, or let us know on the blog posts, the show notes on sushicodes.com.
Yeah, for sure. And so the idea that I had was, you'll probably laugh at this, Allison.
Okay.
This is like an ongoing thing. I really want to make this.
I know what it is.
You know what this is? Well, okay, hold on. Yeah. What is it? Let me.
It's a claw game, isn't it?
It's a claw game.
He really, really, really wants to make a claw game.
A claw machine game.
In VR. This has been his idea.
Or AR.
Like at least the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And we just haven't gotten to it yet. But every time we're like, what should we make next? He's like, how about a claw game?
We're going to do this. Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
On off topic, outside of the podcast, we've been doing a lot of game devs and
in preparation for doing AR and VR projects.
I've been doing a lot of modeling and blenders and stuff like that. So it's going to be an interesting, it's going to force me to do a lot more modeling in Blender to model all these things for the claw game. So I'm excited about this. But I want to see if I can execute a claw machine game on a tray table. Like, it's just imagine
that would
you're
be
sitting
interesting.
There. Yeah. Yeah, and then maybe your fingers, there's buttons you can touch with your finger, press with your fingers, and maybe you can turn the whole claw machines or something like that without, you know, it's all just with your hands, you know, all
hand
tracking.
I like that idea.
I mean, it's not mind-blowing idea, but I just something
but
I have to
have
do.
It doesn't have to be.
You know?
I mean, Beat Saber, that's not a mind-blowing, like that's known game.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's an original idea, but like seeing that in this context of the tray table is really cool.
Yes, exactly.
It just ended up really, really cool.
I want this year to be the year we put our idea to rest, Allison. We put all the
just freaking
ideas to rest.
Machine.
Kill all the ideas. Okay, and that's one of the ideas I have. I have to get it out. I have to put it to rest. You know, so it's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. What do you have any ideas?
Well,
Allison?
I was thinking that this is not so much a game, but it sounds like this is a VR jam, not a game jam. So it doesn't have to be a game, although I haven't read everything, so I don't know. But I was thinking the context of an airplane tray table, it would be really cool because I feel like a lot of people like watching the plane's progress of the flight.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
To get that in 3D or to be able to go and look like, what am I over? What's happening down there?
Yeah.
Would just be kind of cool to have this just 3D version of like, here's my plane, this is where I'm going, this is my little map, and like here's like with the topography and everything.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would be kind of interesting a very airplane sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to be able to get like, I don't know, interesting facts about like what you're going over right now or something.
Yeah, that would be
because you always wonder when you're flying of like, I see stuff, but I have but not a dang clue where I am.
Yeah, you don't
I know
where
I'm between point A and point B.
Yeah.
But what is this area? What are the cool features of this area?
That's a good idea.
So
it's more you're more like information though.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. What about like a tray table game on an airplane? But it's like a horror game, like your plane is gonna go down or something.
You're freaking out. I mean, I guess some people would be into it, but just like imagine your neighbor just starts being like, oh my god, and you're just like, what is wrong with you?
You're just freaking out, and everyone's just
like flipping in VR.
Oh god, maybe not. I feel like that's gonna put some people on the no flights list pretty soon, pretty quickly.
Oh gosh. But what else could you do in that small space?
I don't know. I think
I don't know how well this works with keeping track of your environment.
Yeah,
but I'm just thinking Jenga with turbulence.
Oh. Well, it would have to detect like the turbulence.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I don't know how well it would work with something like that.
Yeah.
If there's that technology at all.
Or just Jenga. I mean, it doesn't have
to. Yeah, I mean, that's a thing that's been done is Jenga.
Yeah.
Which in general, I think would fit within this amount of space.
And it could be social. I mean, somebody else could have a... I feel like as we go further into or approach the future of VR... device is going to be less bulky. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possibly going to be just, you know, just like look like your sunglasses and stuff like that, or prescription glasses.
And
it's going to be more social, right?
Thing that we wanted to talk about is all of the upcoming device announcements or rumors that's come out.
Yeah.
Because Apple is rumored to be releasing its AR glasses in 2022.
We'll see.
It's a rumor. We'll see if it actually.
We'll see, but
if it actually happens. You know, but then weren't they also talking about some VR things, a VR headset coming out in the near-ish future, possibly.
I think supposedly is 2022 is the AR/VR, and then the 2023 in about 3 years is gonna be the slick. Smart glasses.
That's super fancy.
Yeah.
Would you wear them?
Oh, heck yeah, I would wear them. I would, if it looks like what we're seeing right now, you know, on your screen, I would definitely wear that.
I'm just going to look like the biggest dork. Not like I don't already.
If it's a little bulkier, I'll be happy to wear it. Because, I mean, if there's information coming through, I love information. Mm-hmm. I love to be like... I'm gardening outside, and I'm just getting email, and I could read my email, or Allison could send me a message, because I usually don't. Phones, you know what's the bad thing about phones nowadays is like as we progress, the phone gets larger and larger.
It's becoming true. They went smaller and then they got bigger.
And the thing with that is like, I don't want to carry the phone. It's so heavy.
Well, if you had an Apple phone, we could get you a watch.
I know, that's true. I'm
But
Allison, who's going to be testing devices or testing things for Android, right?
We specifically got two different phones so that one of us can test Android stuff and one of us can test Apple stuff.
Yeah, this is a legit podcast, Allison.
We
have to test everything.
We're programmers. Yeah. We got to do this.
Yeah, but yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, having the glasses would be wonderful. Then I can just not have to carry my phone everywhere.
Yeah, I love the idea of the glasses. We'll see how it turns out in reality.
Yeah.
Because I especially am very prone to motion sickness. And so if seeing through the glasses or the things that are happening on the glasses in front of you end up weird.
Yeah.
That might not work for me.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it turns out.
I think but it'll probably be better with AR. I think in terms of motion sickness, it's
right. But like the Magic Leap, we had an opportunity to try that out.
Did you get motion sick
from it?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was just.
But you have these things that are kind of, they're not fully static.
Yeah.
So it gets a little weird.
Yeah.
And I did get a little motion sick I got a little bit of a headache. From using the Magic Leap, which is why I kept taking it off and didn't just like keep it on like you did.
Yeah.
Because we took a workshop maybe a year ago with Magic Leap.
A year ago? Yeah, that's right.
I want to say it was last year. Yeah. And we got to play with the Magic Leap headsets and do a little bit of development for Magic Leap, which was pretty cool. But that headset did not love me.
It's okay.
And also, Magic Leap is what's happening with Magic Leap?
I think they're trying to sell themselves, and I think they're switching from consumer into uh, into just B2B to business to industrial things and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which
is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, but I mean, it makes sense because their headset is so expensive. I can't really see that.
They're pricey. Off. They're bulky. Yeah. And these days, at least for now, I feel like VR has so much more in the way of content and things that are good for consumers to use.
Yeah. Technology just need to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, the headset needs to get better. Smaller glasses. So I'm hoping Apple will be the one will take us into the future.
I'm hoping they'll push us there.
They have the resource. They have so much money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but yeah, hopefully. I feel like there's rumor in about a few years, but
we'll be keeping an eye on that.
I'll say give or take a year. So latest 2025, you know?
Or they'll just like spring it on us next year or something.
Yeah. It's like surprise, surprise.
Guess what we did?
Slick glasses for y'all.
So speaking of motion sickness, I saw an article recently about how Sony's PlayStation VR, they're looking into some sickness reduction. Yeah. Which I love this. Yeah. I am very, very much in favor of this. It's talking about keeping track and doing some stuff with like how things shake, mm-hmm. Which should be interesting. I'm very interested in this because even with we tried out the Quest and I definitely had some motion sickness problems with it, mm-hmm. which is why I've always been a little hesitant. But Beat Saber was actually totally fine for me. I was fine with Beat Saber, but some of the other experiences are just like, oh, I'm getting really sick from this.
Yeah, I was actually getting some motion sickness with
it. And you were too, and you don't tend to get as much motion sickness as I do.
Yes, especially with games with that.
You're talking about the movement.
Movement game. Yeah, the game that I myself have to move or the game's moving me, then I get motion sickness immediately. I think Beat Saber did a good job because your body
doesn't move.
You're just standing
your
still.
Your position doesn't move. Yeah, things just come at you.
So it works much better. Mm-hmm. So it's really, we'll see what PlayStation VR is going to do to reduce that.
And I'm also kind of interested, if ever we get our Quest, to see that Half-Life.
Oh, the Alyx, mm-hmm. Half-Life Alyx.
I was watching a video recently about how they do their motion and how they made their choices with motion. Mm-hmm. And they have different options of you can either blink to a place or mm-hmm. shift to a place.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how that impacts motion sickness. If there's a difference there. If one works better or if both are great or if they're both just terrible.
When we used to have a Quest until I returned it because we were... We didn't have time.
We had it for like a week.
Yeah, we didn't have time to play with it.
Things aren't ready yet.
Things aren't ready.
And then we returned it and we've been regretting it ever since. Yeah. Mistakes were made.
But when we had it for a week, I was trying out different games, different mm-hmm. demo on there. And one of the game I tried had that option too, mm-hmm. where you're either moving with the controller or you're teleporting. From one place to another.
Right.
And definitely teleporting. For me personally, teleporting is the way to go.
Okay.
Moving around, I'm ready. I'm ready to throw up after like 5 minutes. So definitely I feel like
I'm gonna like the teleporting.
You're definitely in the teleporting camp.
Okay.
Like some people are, I think you get used to it from what I heard.
I'm sure your body adapts because that's something that I've known. For other things like spinning, for example, most people get really, really dizzy from spinning. But circus artists, you get used to it. You train yourself.
Kind of spinning. I thought you were talking about like
not cycling.
On the cycling, I'm like, you get dizzy?
No, turning around, turning in circles. But like, I mean, you've seen circus artists. Some of them can spin like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can train your way up to being able to do it.
That's true. That's true.
Like most normal people will get so sick from it real fast.
That's definitely gonna be me.
I'm really hoping that using VR headsets on a more regular basis and getting used to all of these games and experiences will actually train my body to not get motion sick and dizzy from it.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it has, in order for these headsets to become, to reach the point of mass adoption, it needs to be able to
that's true
prevent you from getting sickness.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to just be able to step into it and be fine,
because that's going to be, because most
people will have the reaction that I had of this isn't for me.
Yeah,
because exactly. I just get so sick so easily that I can't play all of these games.
Yeah,
so
it'd be interesting to see what PlayStation is doing. And I feel like, you know, Facebook with Oculus, they're going to do something.
I mean, the Quest, they all have to be looking into this. This is such an important thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I feel like they need to hire you, Allison. I mean, if they can make a headset that you don't get motion, you're so sensitive.
If I barf, is not okay.
Yeah, you're going to be number one QA.
If I don't get dizzy and I don't barf, then we're good.
Yeah, launch.
Now they should use my mom, because she gets even more motion sick than I do. Yeah,
hire your entire family.
My whole family. We got you.
Just send you a headset every month.
Facebook, I'm here for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just contact me.
We'll
hit me up on Twitter.
You do it for free, right?
Just I'll do it for free.
Free headset.
Send me the headset. I'll test them out for you.
Quest 2?
Actually, no. Pay me.
Send it to our
Facebook.
PO box.
You have so much money.
Yeah,
I won't do it for free.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if it was some like little company, then maybe, but not for Facebook. No.
That's very true. Very true. But you know, I would do it just to get a hands on the next Quest.
No, I would be willing to try it out.
Next Quest. Which is probably maybe next year, hopefully.
We're hoping. I don't have an article about it, but I feel like I saw something about a smaller, more lightweight Quest.
Yeah, they have to, because
coming up. I think that's been at least rumored, if not announced.
Yeah, that's part of why I returned the first one, is because it was a little heavy. Like after using it for 15 minutes, I feel like I need a neck massage. It's like, oh my God.
You just need a neck brace to just hold up your head while neck. You're doing it.
Yeah, and all I need is just hand tracking right now. I just move my hand.
Easy.
Oh,
I am looking forward to trying that out, because that was not available when we had the Quest last year.
And that's why we're getting it now, because I want
I'm
to start
for
playing
it.
With it now before the Quest 2 comes out.
And we have a podcast now, so, have to.
It's our duty now. It's our duty to try
duty.
Things.
Yes. But if anybody wants to send us
more, you know,
headsets, other type of headset,
I'll take another. Wait, there's two of us, Austin. We only have one Quest, you know. I'll take another Quest.
Exactly. Our app of the week this week is a website called size.link. This was made by the people at Shopify.
Yes.
And it's this cool little thing where you can pretty much put in the dimensions of something that you're trying to size and click that little button that says create 3D box. And it will create an AR box that you can put in your environment, and you can use this on your phone and actually see it in your environment, how big something would be on your floor, on your table, wherever you want to try out a measurement, see if a couch fits in your room.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Or a painting.
Or a painting on your wall. Or
see if it fits. It's a really interesting app.
Sun sent this to me today. And we were playing with it before we started recording this.
Yeah. And it works really well.
And it worked great.
It's on my Galaxy S10. It works really well. I think it's utilizing AR Core.
Mm-hmm.
On the Android, and utilizing ARKit, obviously, on the iOS iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really well.
It worked, it looks great on both of them.
Yeah.
And it's a cool app.
It's a smart idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shopify, they're powering a lot of merchants and whatnot, and selling these things, and they can put a link on what they're selling. Like, oh, I'm selling a big old machine or whatever it is. And somebody's like, oh, I need to find if it fits, or even a couch, like you said. I think it's made by the same same team of that guy who we Daniel Beauchamp.
Mm-hmm.
Beauchamp.
This guy
who does miniatures Beat Saber that we talked in the beginning.
Coolest freaking job.
I know. He has the coolest job.
Can we get a hookup?
Yeah. I don't know.
I want that job.
Yeah.
It seems like so much fun.
Yeah. Or we can join their team, Allison.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Hire us. We know nothing yet, but hire us anyways. Yeah. We have a podcast. It means something.
Yeah. We're going to make Claw Machine on the airplane. You know?
Totally.
Everyone wants that. So try it out. Let us know on your phone.
Despite what I said about app of the week, this is actually not an app. It just works over the web. Yeah, it's a website that you can go to and just load up on your phone, and it just works, which is the coolest thing. I was expecting to have to download an app.
Well, technically, for it to work, Allison, but you can say that it's a web app.
It is a web app. But I mean, I didn't have to go to the app store and download an app.
Yeah, no download. No download. Just a link.
I was like looking at the app store. I'm like, it's not here. It's not here. I don't know what you're talking about because it's not here.
Just go to the website.
It's just a website. Site.link.
Yep. So yeah. Try it out.
Go check it out.
I've been playing with it. So I'm going to measure everything. I'm going to put all these boxes in my
random. There's going to be so many boxes around this house.
A virtual box at least.
Also. Yes, but knowing me, I'll trip over them anyways. I'm just that clumsy.
That's true.
If you enjoy podcasts, search for Excess Reality on your favorite podcast provider.
And if you want to see the video version of our podcast, check us out on youtube.com/sushicodes.
All of our show notes are available on sushicodes.com. And if you want to let us know what you think of this podcast, or if you have other ideas for what you want to see on the podcast, hit me up on Twitter. I'm Sushi Day on social media.
See you next week. Bye-bye.